With that being said, we'll get into 1 Peter. You saw the sermon title, The Incorruptible Seed. And of course, that's the Word of God, and you'll hear about that momentarily as we're in verses 17 of chapter 1 through 25. And I'd like to pray with you and then get into the message. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to gather amongst your bride, to gather together, and to worship and glorify you. Your word endures forever. It has stood the test of time, and it will continue to, till heaven and earth pass away. He says, your word will not. And so we thank you for that, and today let your word do your work in your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you, to begin with, an article from a Christian author speaking about some of the attempts or about attacks on the Word of God, as we know what's happened for many years, many centuries. And so it starts off this way. The Bible has had many enemies, even those that professed on some occasions to be its friends, under other circumstances turned enemy to it. During the Middle Ages, for example, the Roman Catholic Church burned thousands of copies of the Bible. But in spite of it, the Bible lives on. Voltaire, the noted French infidel who died in 1778, made his attempt to destroy the Bible. He boldly made the prediction that within 100 years, the Bible and Christianity would have been swept from existence into oblivion. But Voltaire's efforts and his bold prophecy failed as miserably as did those of his unbelieving predecessors. In fact, within 100 years, the very printing press upon which Voltaire had printed his infidel literature was being used to print copies of the Bible. And afterward, the very house in which the boasting Voltaire had lived was literally stacked with Bibles prepared by the Geneva Bible Society. Voltaire and all his cohorts had miserably failed. One more paragraph about the Bible's popularity. Each year, literally men throughout the world are expending their most strenuous efforts to produce what men will call a bestseller. But the bestseller of all time is the Bible. Each year, the Bible outsells all other books. Its critics have railed and ranted and then died to soon be forgotten. But the word of the Lord has lived on. It will continue to be the world's bestseller so long as there are men and women who are willing to let the blessed words of the Bible guide their life. The Bible cannot be destroyed. And even if all shall turn aside from it, God will yet preserve it, for he has said it will last till heaven and earth shall be no more, and that all of us shall meet it in the day of judgment. You must read it with understanding now, obey its every commandment, live by it, die by it, and we can thereby share the great promises contained in it. Amen. Thought that was a good way to start the sermon called The Incorruptible Seed. So with that being said, as we know, the Apostle Peter, but as I mentioned last week, you hear Peter's writing, or read Peter's writing, it's almost as if you can hear his heart or his tone, because it's really more like Pastor Peter in this letter to those that are experiencing persecution and now are dispersed amongst five different regions that are mentioned in the beginning of the chapter. And last week he was encouraging people and talking about how the prophecies of the prophets were meant for the people that he was writing to, and although they had not seen the Christ yet. And like us, we have not seen the Christ yet, but we have that faith and that hope and the love of God in us that one day we will see him face to face and we will know him as he knows us. And then an encouragement to be holy as he is holy, fashioned into grace. And the fruit of grace is holiness. Hagios, being set apart, sanctified by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And so with that being said, verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Two wonderful things. You know that our God is impartial, and so often people are concerned about their loved ones as they ought to be in the salvation of their souls. We have a fair, just God. As we just read, He's not a respecter of persons. We can trust in the righteousness of our Lord. He is a righteous God. And Peter, appealing to this people to seek Him and reminding them as they're just sojourning or passing through. As we looked at the word, depending on the translation you read, what Bible version you read, in the beginning of the first few verses of 1 Peter, it uses the terms alien, or pilgrim, or stranger. And that's quite honestly how you and I should feel at times. I know I have felt that way. But you honestly, if you are living differently, and if you are being sanctified, and if you are becoming holy as He is holy, there are many times, or at least sometimes, you are going to feel like that proverbial duck out of water. And again, I know I certainly have experienced that. And that's a time where you can really press in to the presence of the Lord and really seek Him. And just remember that you're just sojourning, as the King James says, you're just passing through this place. And Peter is reminding these people, again, put yourself in their position. Much like several countries today where the Word of God is banned, they are being persecuted to the point of where they will die as martyrs, where they will lose their life or be imprisoned or beaten. Why? For this Word, for the Word of God, for the New Testament. Understand this. This is 64 AD. This is not 2024. This is new. This is new. Imagine everything that they learned. All the law and everything that they learned, now understanding it, the purpose of it. By the Spirit of God, understanding the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. That word revelation was used last week, if you look back. Just imagine being in their position. They're being hunted down. And Peter is trying to encourage them. And before we move on, feel it's appropriate to talk to you about some of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in these regions. The research that I've done, I've discovered there's 52 countries right now out of roughly close to 200, I believe it's 196 countries, 52 countries where the Bible, the Word of God, is banned by the government. That's 27%, approximately 27% of the countries. Listen to just a few of these. In North Korea, children sometimes are unaware of what their parents' Bible is. Even having a Bible, there is enough to be arrested or killed. An American was arrested and detained for 5 months simply for leaving a Bible in a restaurant in the hopes of a North Korean might find and read it. It is not illegal for a foreigner to have a single Bible in the Maldives in their own language, but there is not a complete translation of a Bible in their native language. In Malaysia, Bibles are allowed, but it's not allowed to refer to God as Allah in Christian publications. In China, Bibles are allowed, but have been coming under increased scrutiny and regulation. In Saudi Arabia, it's fine to bring a Bible if you're a foreigner. But if you do something, like read it in public, or if it's suspected you have any intention with speaking publicly about your faith, that could mean prison. And in many places, it's permissible for traditional Christians and foreigners to worship in private or in their own ethnic groups. But if someone converts from Islam or is found with a Bible in their own language, it can lead to significant punishment. And it speaks of right now Afghanistan and North Korea being the most persecuted countries for the Word of God. We take it for granted here. We just do. Someone had commented on, I think it was a basketball player of mine or one of the kids, how many Bibles I had in my car. I didn't even notice that. I wasn't doing it to seem holy. Just my kids will forget their Bible sometimes in my car, and I end up with four or five Bibles in my vehicle. But the reality is we have it in our back shelf back there, I can look and see 20, 30, 40 copies. It's sold at the Dollar Tree. It's almost like the Israelites, when God was supernaturally providing the provision for them of manna. And like all humans with that sin nature and those fleshly desires, what did they do? This manna was literally coming from heaven, right? What is it? That's what manna is. And it's this honey wafer type thing. Can't really be explained. But God is raining this just like that, the snowflakes this morning from heaven. And what do the people do? They just take it for granted. They don't even want it anymore. They don't even want the manna anymore. Now they say, give us quail. We don't even want this anymore. God, we see it coming from heaven. It's supernatural. It hasn't even been prepared by a man. Man's hand hasn't even been on it. But they say, we want quail. And isn't that like today? Isn't that like today? In the churches in America, in the homes in America, people saying, we really don't want this anymore. We're tired of this. We want something that's just going to please our flesh. Something that's going to entertain us. Something that's going to make us come in. We want to get excited in church. About what? What do you want to get excited about? Because the Word of God has very specific instructions on what it's used for. Correction, rebuke, instruction, righteousness. So the man of God will be equipped, fully furnished. This is the reason for the Word of God. Psalm 119. I just want to read just a small portion of it because in my personal reading time, I started to go over this. And did you know that this is how children learned the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet? And do you know what the first one is? Aleph. Points to the sacrificial animal. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet points to the Lamb of God that Peter's going to mention here momentarily that takes away the sin of the world. Christ in the Old Testament. Christ in the Old Testament. I just want to read, because all of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. I'll read just a small portion of it, and that would be Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We know this next beautiful memory verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's another version. I believe it's the NASB that says, I treasure your word. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. All riches. Isn't that beautiful? I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. And listen to this. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. Have we forgotten the word of God as a country? Yes, we have. Are we beginning to forget the word of God as the universal church of Jesus Christ in some aspects? Yes. Any pastor, any missionary, any Bible teacher that stands before you for 20, 30, 40 minutes every Sunday, Wednesday, whenever it is, and they're not giving you the Word of God, I'll tell you what you're receiving. Quail. If it's not coming from the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, you are receiving quail. You know what God does sometimes? He says, that's what you really want? I'm going to give you so much of it, it's going to be coming out of your nostrils. You're not even going to know how sick you really are. You're not even going to know how much garbage is in this stuff. It'd be like that, remember that movie Supersize Me, where the guy ate McDonald's for 30 days every minute, and he started throwing up, and his health started. That's exactly what's going to happen to you spiritually. If you don't have the Word of God, if you don't get a steady diet of the Word of God, you're going to start to get so sick spiritually, eventually you could just die. You could just die. I had a conversation with someone recently, like half hour ago, 45 minutes ago, who attended the Bible Prophecy Conference, and they were commenting on how many people, these men go to these, Burning Man, I think it's called in Las Vegas, these radical, really fleshly events that go on, and they were marveled at how many people said they used to be Christians. Let me tell you this, you can't used to be a Christian. You know what happened? You were consuming quail. You never had an encounter with the Almighty God. You never were born again. You were never born from above. You can't used to be a Christian. You're born into the family of God the same way you come out of the birth canal of a woman. You can't used to be a Christian. You never were a Christian. You see? With that in mind, as we continue on, verse 18, Peter says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed," you were not brought back, bought back, purchased back, meaning redeemed, "with corruptible things." Well, what's the corruptible things? Silver and gold, because they came from a background where this was highly valued. Much like America, I heard the national debt is, I don't even know what it is. I think I heard 37 trillion, something just astronomical. "Silver and gold, from your vain or empty conversation," remember that means conduct in King James, "from your vain, your empty conduct received by" what? "Tradition from your fathers." You cannot get into the kingdom based upon traditions of what you think is right. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its truth endures to how many generations? From the youngest to the oldest. From this time of Peter till now. And it will endure forever, as we read already. As I quoted today, already. Heaven and earth will pass away, not the word of God. Not the word of God. And again, put yourself in these scattered, persecuted Christian situations. They're all being rewired. This is all new. It's kind of like, what happened? I thought, just like the Apostle Paul wrote to Damascus, what happened? I thought I was living for God. I thought I knew God, and I realized I was on my way to hell. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I mean, I know the Torah, and I knew about the prophets, and I knew Psalm 119, all of this, and all of a sudden I had this revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. And I realized he saved me from death. This is what's going on here. These people, Christendom has only been around less than a century at this point in time. It's almost like to say, what has happened? Peter's saying, understand this, I went through this too. Same thing happened to me that has happened to you. And now we walk with him and we talk with him because we're his own now. We were born into the family of God. Supernaturally, just like that manna. I'm the manna. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Now you feast on me. Not cannibalism. You take the word of God and you read it and you meditate on it and you memorize it and you think about it. I was just sharing with someone today that's here. I said, man, I was going to text you this. And this is what I was, because it was on my heart, I was praying, I was going to share this with you. Sure enough, they walk in, and I get to tell them, I wanted to share this about your situation, this with the Word of God. That's what I got from the Word of God. And they said, wow, yeah. It's kind of a bearing of witness there, you see? Why? Because it's incorruptible. Remember the first week? Undefiled, incorruptible, fades not away. The silver and gold, and there's nothing wrong with silver and gold if it's you, the great context, you know, there's people. Again, we know them all in the Old Testament. And it's how the filthy lucre preachers manipulate people. They point to King Solomon. Yes, he was very wealthy. They point to Abraham. Yes, he was very wealthy. And so God does bless his people with wealth. Why? So that he can help us. They can help God's people. That's why. And there are many people in the body of Christ that do that, by the way. Many people. And many people do it very discreetly and very privately, but when it captivates you, when it takes your heart, when it becomes your motivation, listen to this. I want to read to you briefly about some corruptible seeds. See, because the Word of God is pure, undefiled, it's incorruptible, but this is about the seed. And if you don't understand the seed of the sower, Jesus actually explains it. The disciples didn't understand it. They didn't have the Holy Spirit with them. They actually said, can you please explain this to us, what you're saying about casting the seed? And Jesus actually explains it to them in Mark chapter 4. He explains to them what the seed is. And by the way, please, 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 please. I'm looking around here. It looks like a really healthy people. But I don't know. There might be somebody or somebody here hears this later on. Don't ever say sow a seed referring to that corruptible seed of money. Money fades away. Don't ever equate the word of God with money. That's blasphemous. That's defiling the word of God that's incorruptible. There's a lot of filthy lucre preachers out there that say sow a seed. That is so blasphemous to the word of God. It specifically says seed is the word of God. And without going through it for sake of time, there's four types of soil. Four types of soil. And how does this seed, when you cast it forth, when you give people, when you sow a seed, meaning the word of God to someone, when you share the word of God, when you share the gospel with them, one of four things happens. Well, the birds of the air could come along and take it away. That's referring to Satan and his little minions. You hear the God, and then all of a sudden, things come along like little birds. Pluck it out. There's another soil. What happens there? There's no root. That's why you get in Christendom, you have to give people time. Now people get all excited. I love this. I don't love it. I used to do it. Praise God, brother. 316 people came into the kingdom today. I'm like, really? Like, you know that 300, really? No, you don't plant a tree, and all of a sudden the next day you see a big, beautiful. It takes time. It takes time to see if there's a root there, because Jesus said, one of the parables, there's no root. So you can't see underground. I can see underground, but you can't see beneath the soil, and I can, because I'm the one that gives the increase. And what does he say takes away this, or what happens here? They fall away. Why? What happens? Trouble. Persecution comes. Difficulty. Someone tells you, a filthy lucre preacher tells you it's your best life now. You think everybody's great. All of a sudden, everybody hates you. You fall away. Can't take it. I thought I was going to be loved, not hated. Well, what did Jesus say? Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. So were the prophets that were before you. He never said your best life now. That's a misnomer. That is an American westernized mentality. Totally biblically off. Totally off. What do you think about this list? Do you think it's their best life now? 52 countries. Do you think that would really fly in these countries? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Then another soil. The other soil. Thorns. Come in and choke it. What are those thorns? They hear the word. They're really excited. The worries of life come in. It's election year. It's election year. And you're totally distracted about what's going on with Donald Trump, what's going on with Joe Biden. You are totally sidetracked with the cares of life. Men that are in their 80s, they're going to be passing away. The greatest man, the best man is manifest. They're going to fade away. They're just going to be gone, not even remembered. And you're totally consumed with them. You're totally consumed with the political landscape, cares of the world. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your career. You are consumed with it. And the thorns are coming, just choking that seed out. Deceitfulness of riches, he says. Corruptible seed. It can be corruptible. It's corrupt so many. A simple, profound expression I heard once from a pastor's wife. She doesn't even know that. Sometimes you hear things and it sticks with you for years. They said this, and I forgot it. Money makes people funny. I have found that to be so true. Money makes people funny. You ever have somebody pass away that you know that's close to you, and what's the first thing people do? They're worried about what was left behind for them. Leave something behind for your children more than what they can fight over. Leave the word of God for them. Leave the incorruptible seed of the word of God. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you're a millionaire, a billionaire. I don't care if you can pay that national debt. If that's all you leave behind, it will perish. It will perish. Just like James said to those he was speaking to. Money's a tool. It's a good tool. Learn that over the years. It helps advance the gospel. It helps families. Helps individuals. Helps nations. You're familiar with us, and Pastor Greg is here today, and other people, Randy, Minister Randy, we've been to Kenya, we want to get a water well. People need water. That's a good cause. Money's needed for them. But more importantly, they need living water. They need the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, Randy, who many of you know, you can't miss him. Powerful testimony of when he was praying about going to Kenya the first time. And he says he's praying. He says, God, man, I have nothing. I got nothing. What do I have to bring? He's not an academic man. If you know Randy, you know what I'm talking about. God's Spirit just touched him. Says, you have my word. You have my word. And we go there. We give the people of Kenya the word of God. And you hear things like this. You guys are different. All you do is preach the word of God. That's the gospel we need in Kenya. You hear things like that. Which excites you but saddens you at the same time. It's the incorruptible seed. It's not good enough anymore for the American church. It's not good enough anymore. We need other things. And please, understand this. Lord, help me in saying this the right way. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things going on in churches. I mean, there's a lot of things. Even my 14-year-old son was talking to me about this, driving. Like, yeah, Dad, you know, youth, they got a lot of things. Sometimes some of the churches, they got things going on every night for the youth. I don't know if that's really good if God's hand's not in. Lest the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain that build it. You only want what the incorruptible seed has birthed. That's all you want. If it's a life group or a youth group or a 90-year-old group or whatever group it is, you only want it if God birthed it and he's building it. That's all you want in the church. Don't want just stuff to just do, to just offer a menu of quail to people when they come in. Why? Because they'll start to die. They'll start to die. And so, in verse 19, he says, but with the precious, you were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is Leviticus 22:20, a direct reference to that. The Levitical laws had to bring forth a lamb without blemish for a sacrifice. And we know that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know that's Aleph, what it's referring to in the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or revealed in these last times for who? For you. For you, foreordained, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God's providential, sovereign plan. Those are not scary words. Those should be comforting words. Those should be words of trust if you know Jesus Christ. If you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, those shouldn't scare you. Those should comfort you. Those words should comfort you. God's sovereignty. Just think of it like being in a father's arms. You're just a child. I mean, I hope that my little girl feels that way when I hold on to her. I really do. I hope she feels completely safe. I hope she knows I'm not going to drop her on her head. I hope she knows that I'm just going to keep her in my arms no matter what. You're not going to fall. That's the beauty of God. He's a sovereign God. He says you're in the palm of his hand. He's not going to lose one. He wouldn't be God if he did. Who by him, verse 21, believe in God, who by him, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. Hope, the object of your confidence, might be in God. But I want you to remember the last one that's missing, the last virtue, it's love. See, faith and hope, once we meet love, that's God. God is love. Once we meet him, you don't need faith and hope anymore. Here, you need faith and hope. Horizontally speaking, in this world, as you're sojourning through, as a pilgrim and alien, you need faith and hope. But once you cross over, you don't need them anymore. Now all you'll have is love. That's why it's the greatest. Because God is love. And he says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love. That's a sincere love of the brethren. See that you love one another with, listen to this, a pure heart fervently. No malice, sincerely. Loving your brothers, your sisters in the family of God. Passionately loving them. Have you heard this before? Well, I love the church. I just don't like God's people. You are not saved, my friend. You are not saved. How can you say you love God, you have not seen, but you hate your brother? You are not saved. I'm telling you this. According to the incorruptible seed, God's word says, you know not the God I speak of. You can't hate God's church and love him. He birthed those people into his family. Now listen, you know what the problem with the church is? The church. That is the problem with the church. Let me explain that. I am a flawed person. I am at times a train wreck. I am a mess at times. I'm sure, I know it. I shouldn't say sure. I'm sure my wife says, what are you doing? Why are you even up there? What? Look at you. And she's right. I got to confess. She's right. But many of you will not believe this. There's times I can look at her and say the same thing. You say, really? I'm her husband. Okay? Can I get an amen from the husbands out there if that's true? Not for... But the reality is this, is that God loves those messes. God loves... Those are his children the same way you love your children. Why? Because it's your children. That's the reason why. There's nothing you could do to please him anymore. It's your child. As messed up as they are, as deep as they are in the pit, the miry clay, you still love them. There's no conditions on it. Unconditional love, because it's your child, and that's what the Father has for us. He's impartial. He loves deeply. The love of God. That's why it's the greatest. God is love. The love of God is endless, boundless, to know the height and the depth. Wow, it's amazing. So 22 and 23 really need a hitch as they go together. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. This is a reference to Isaiah 40. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fall away. But the word of the Lord, how long does it last? It endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto Spencer Port Bible Church today. And this is the word that was preached unto the Christians scattered abroad in Peter's day. And this is the word that was preached in the time of Isaiah without him even knowing it. It's always going to be the gospel. In the heavenlies, I referenced it last week, Revelation 14:6. An angel is flying through the midst of the heavens declaring the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Fear God and give him glory. And I made a mistake last week, because the end of the book in Revelation 22, it says, whosoever will come and drink of the water of life freely. The Bible ends with the gospel. It ends with an invitation to know the author. Well, let me end with this. We talked a lot about the Word of God in the Bible, and I treasure it. I really do. I don't want you to think I'm strange, but you may already think that. So I'm just gonna tell you something. I don't publicly do this. And I don't even do it in front of my family, but you know what? Sometimes I'll just take this book, just kiss it. You say, man, you are strange. No, you know what's strange? When people kiss a Vince Lombardi trophy, that's strange to me. You see?
People have died for this book. This book is illegal in 52 countries. This book, to me, is a treasure. It's a treasure. This book has changed my life. This book is incorruptible. You heard about Voltaire. Doesn't God have a great sense of humor? God shall not be mocked. So many have tried to destroy it. Stood the test of time. It will continue to. Remember I told you last week the phrase someone says really that what really makes no sense. It's an ignorant on the person's behalf who says it. If someone has ever told you, and I would encourage you to receive this as a compliment to the glory of God, you are so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Amen. That's what Peter is saying. That's what James is saying. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's always pointing people back to the kingdom of God. He's always reminding people that they're just sojourning. They're just pilgrims. That like the flower fades, like the grass withers, you're not going to be here that long. Stay focused on the one that loves you deeply. The one whose love has no bounds. The one who is love, God Almighty Himself. And the one that demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were a mess, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated His love. He died for us. You say, you haven't seen it. I have faith and I have hope. And that's why I have the love of God in me, and I will see Him and I will know Him as He knows me one day. Amen? It's a promise. That's a promise. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for this opportunity today. God, we know that You're sovereign and You're almighty. Pray for each soul in Spencerport Bible Church today, that You bless them and keep them. Lord, that Your face would shine upon them. Would You be merciful unto them, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the Word of God. How powerful it is. Powerful. Has moved me to tears so many times. Has convicted me so heavily so many times. Has instructed me in righteousness so many times. Has shown me, directed me, whether I follow or not, how to be a man of God, how to be a husband, a father, how to be a child of God. I pray that's the same for all here today, anybody who's watching or listening as well. We give You the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.